Well, we appreciate our welcome home sign. We've never had a banner or welcome home poster in the church when we've been gone. We don't expect that every time we're gone. We might keep some people busy making posters. But we
Autumn
certainly,
Ford has come of age, so
Autumn
it's a new
Ford.
Era.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you'll have to let Autumn know I appreciate that. Very nice. And the light, Sam. Sam said, "Let there be light." And he got the ladder and created light. You're just like God. Well,
yeah.
You're similar. Well, thank
made
you.
In his image.
Thank you. What's that?
He's made in his image.
He's made in his image. Yes, he is. How about that? Appreciate it very much. Okay. Now, tonight I am going to be preaching on how much God loves us. And it's intended to be a message of encouragement. Okay? Now, we need to have confrontation. We need to have conviction. We need to have, obviously, instruction. There's many things that we need from the pulpit and in the preaching ministry. But tonight, my intention is to try to give a little bit of encouragement by reminding us some basics about God's love. First of all, God's love provided forgiveness. Okay? John 3:16, let's all recite it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gives us everlasting life. Now, you say, well, where's the forgiveness in that verse? Do you think he's going to give us everlasting life while we still have sin in our life? While we're still guilty of sin? Of course not. He needs to deal with the sin, and he one of the things he does in dealing with it is to forgive it. And today, many people talk about mistakes. What God forgives is sin. There's a difference between mistakes and sin.
That's right. Yes,
don't call a mistake sin.
That's right.
All a mistake is a mistake.
Good.
Something wrongly done that could have been, should have been done different, but it's just a mistake. A sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is a breaking of the word of God. Not just a mistake. And so God forgives sin. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us. And because he's forgiven us, when somebody wrongs us, we ought to forgive them. And and that, of course, is part of being kind one to another and tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. You can't forgive somebody else if you've got a hard heart toward them.
Yes, sir.
You need to be tender-hearted. Another thing that I would encourage you with is to base your assurance on God's love. Now we know we have assurance because the Spirit of God lives within us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And from what the Word of God teaches us, we know we have salvation. 1 John 5 tells us that we can know we have eternal life. But I read this story about a man. He was a Christian. He had become very ill. And in his weakened condition, he began to doubt his salvation. And that's something to realize does happen.
Yes, sir.
When you get weakened, and it often comes with an extended physical illness, but it can come from emotional problems and troubles that a person deals with. But he became, in this weakened condition, doubtful about his salvation. And what prompted him to be doubting his salvation in that condition was he was troubled by his lack of love for God. Okay? And he spoke of this lack of love to a friend who had visited him. Now, the friend turned out to be a wise counselor. And the friend, after he heard the sick man's description of his condition, he said, "Well, now, when I go home from here, I'll get home and I'll pick up our little baby." And he said, "I'll hold the baby and I'll look at the baby. I'll look in her eyes and I'll hear her talk. And just the very fact of my interaction with her is going to refresh me." However, he said, "She loves me little. It would not disturb her innocent sleep at all if I were to die. She would continue to play the next day. If I were to die, she probably in a few weeks, maybe even a few days, would forget me. Besides that, she never brought me one penny, but she's has caused me considerable expenses. And I'm not rich, but there isn't enough money in the world to buy my little girl." "Why is this?" he asked his friend. "Does she love me or do I love her? Do I withhold my love from her until she loves me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before I extend it to her?" And the illustration hit home, and the man, with tears rolling down his cheeks, said, "I get the point, friend. What I need to be focusing on isn't my love for God, but in this weakened condition of mine, I need to be focusing on His love for me."
Amen.
How do we know we're saved? Because He loved us.
Amen.
He loved us first. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4 and verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us. And then as He worked in our lives, enabling us to, we love Him back. But even if our love toward Him diminishes, even if our love toward Him is not as strong as it should be, in the case of the true story, it was because of a man's weakened physical condition. But whatever the reason that our love would not be what we want it to be, that doesn't alter the fact that He loves us.
That's good.
And He not only loves us, but He loves us with a never ending love. No man can pluck us out of his hand. It's in Jeremiah chapter 31, and I realize it's spoken in regards to the Jews, but Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God loves us. God cares for us. And he tells us it's with an never-ending, everlasting love. 1 John, we were in 1 John chapter 4. We read verse 19. We love him.